Well, good morning. We are studying the healing seminars, which became New Dimensions in Healing. And I'm very happy for the new book. They did a really fine job, everybody involved, and I'm grateful. And I think Herb is happy too. We are on class number 5, which means we only have 3 left. This one's called A Moment in Infinity. If you haven't taken a moment to be still, do that now, so that you can tune yourself, tune your consciousness into the consciousness that spoke these words. Because that's your consciousness. There's only one. He begins with, well, this is Herb, and he doesn't have a problem with shocking the students. So he says, the best we can hope for is to be very good human beings. And you're sitting in your chair in the audience thinking, what? He says, very successful human beings. And someday, very dead human beings. We have no choice if we want to be one with God. We must learn how to live outside of time. And that was a pet project of Herb's, to lift the students into an awareness of what it's like to live outside of time. And it certainly worked for me when I went to his Avila Beach seminar, Healing Outside of Time. And so this chapter is sort of like that class. We must learn how to live outside of time. Most students are never faced with this issue. But then, once we decide to face it, to see that what we are feeling represents the truth of being, to be one with the Father, one must be outside of time. With the Father. We have to see that there is no past. The past is absolutely nothing. Every yesterday is gone, and all your aches and pains and yesterday are gone with it. And then he says, there is no past. It's quite clear that God has no past. And you know, God has no future either. And neither have you, and neither have I. There is no future at all. It's a myth. I had never looked up that word before, so I decided to look it up. The past and the future, it's a myth. And myth is explained like this in the dictionary. A story of great but unknown age, which originally embodied a belief regarding some fact or phenomenon of experience, and in which often the forces of nature and of the soul are personified. Well, that's pretty good, isn't it? Because it is an age-old belief that the soul can be a person. And number 2 is pretty good, too. A person or thing existing only in imagination. That's all right, isn't it? So, the past and the future are a myth. J. Just as the moment of light will break the shackles of memory, so will a moment of truth reveal to you that there is no past in my being. After you've come to the point where you realize the illusion of the form, don't you see that what was in your so-called past would have to be an illusion about the form that is not? Do you realize that you have shed the past when you have shed the illusion? Yes, that's kind of a pet peeve with me. When I leave this plane of existence, I am not going to do a life review of a false sense of self. Why would I review an illusion? Anyway, he says the future is a future of what? The form. The life in form. But it's illusory. You're building a future illusion. And then he gets down to it. All that exists is this split second now. And in the split second now is the only time that you will ever meet God face to face. God is in the now. God has never been out of the now. God can't go backwards and forwards because there's no backwards and forwards to go to. There's only infinite now, always now. It will be infinite now a million tomorrows from now, and a million tomorrows ago. God lives in the infinite now, and when you realize it, after working on it, dwelling upon it, abiding and waiting for the Christ to clarify, you'll see that the infinite now is the only place you can find perfection. You can't go anywhere beyond the split second, and all life comes down to this split second, until you learn the infinite nature of a split second. And when you learn it, you're going to find a change in your life. You're going to find the power. You're going to find everything you ever thought was in heaven on earth. It's the way you're going to learn to step out of the body. I had a realization a few years ago that before Abraham was, I am. And I noticed it doesn't say I was. Before Abraham was, I am. And so the eternal now means that Christ, the Christ of you, is before Abraham right now. And after the end, right now. And before the beginning, right now. Whatever you were before the beginning, you are right now. Christ is not tied down to the belief in time. Christ lives in the eternal now. Man lives in the passing now. Do you see the difference? He asks. In the passing now, you have the illusion of being free. In the eternal now, you can roam God's paradise. And he says, now let's see how we would step out of time. You can't do it humanly. Dwell in the Spirit and see how the Spirit liberates you automatically from time. Yes, Joel said that sometimes in your meditations, a minute seems like an hour, and an hour seems like a minute. And that's because in your meditation you stepped out of passing time. And that's what Herb means when he says that's the way to step out of your form. And Don told me, as I've said to you before, that eventually, he said, you'll find out how to step into the eternal now. And he said, then you'll have all the time in the world to complete your journey, because there is no time. He was always saying those things that made you go, hmm? And go back and think about it and contemplate it. Herb says, your spirit knows no boundaries. Your spirit is you. Your spirit can roam a million years ago or a thousand. It doesn't think of them as a million years or a thousand because it's all now. Before Abraham was, I am now. Now I am there and here. There's no space to your spirit except infinite space. It's all here. When your spirit says here, it means here in the infinite, which is without boundary. It doesn't mean here in this one inch plot of ground. Here is the infinite, which is without limit. I live. It doesn't mean in this hour or this day. It means in the eternal. Now, in the eternal. Spirit lives in the eternal here, the eternal now. And that's the scope of your being now. So you are eternal, and you are infinite. Your being is infinite, eternal being. And that's the reality of you. That's the truth of you. In your meditation, you become still, and you feel your infinite self stretching in every direction, never ending. And you feel your eternal self way, way, way down as far as you can imagine, and then beyond that, after the end of this world and the next world and the next. And I just got confirmation. But also going backwards, way, way back before the beginning of this planet, before the beginning of this incarnation, before Abraham was, as far as you can imagine, and then beyond. And so you feel your infinite, eternal reality. And you rest in it. And what Herb calls, you get the weight of it. The weight of it. You feel it. And you rest back in it. You trust it. And Herb says, time doesn't even exist in God. We've got to learn to build our true life around the God who has the power. He says, I can't explain to you what infinity is or what eternity is, but the Son of God lives in infinity and eternity. Even Pilate, You are the Christ. Now, he says, Jesus had no concept of time, and that is why his healings were instantaneous. Yes, he knew he was standing before Abraham and after the end. She said to him, I know my brother will rise again at the resurrection. And he turned to her and said almost emphatically, I am the resurrection. And that's just as true of your infinite eternal self as it is of his, because they are one. So Herb says, today we think it will take 4 days or 5 days to heal, or maybe a week, but we're still lingering in the concept of time. As that concept disappears, you'll find healings are instantaneous too. And when you're out of the body, you have no concept of time. That's why healings out of the body are quicker than when a person is lingering in the flesh. The point is that the conscious awareness of no time and no space broke what I think was the curse. This is the story he tells about the girl, the girl's mother that came to him and said that her daughter had a curse. He says, I tell that to you as healers because you may be called upon to break the hypnosis of an individual. When you find that you cannot break a case, let your thoughts run to the spirit, and let the spirit infiltrate so deeply that you've built a barricade against any possible error. What he's saying here is what we said earlier. You get into your meditation and you remember eternal. I am eternal. I am infinite spirit. And so you let your thoughts run to the spirit. And let the spirit infiltrate so deeply that you've built a barricade. If the solution is time or timelessness, space or spacelessness, if it's any protection you need, the spirit, which is omniscient, knows the direction to take and takes that direction and liberates you. It doesn't matter what your problem is. So it's all about the conscious awareness. How many years have we said that? If you have the conscious awareness of eternity and the conscious awareness of infinity and the conscious awareness of omnipresence, there's nothing left to do but rest there. Your conscious awareness is what dissolves the error, the appearance of error. No matter what the power is, it's not a power against the spirit. And if you don't know the solution, it doesn't matter at all. Spirit does know the solution. You've got to know these truths that spirit meets the claim if you are in a position not to interfere. And there we have the crux of the problem. Because you sit down to meditate and you don't get a conscious awareness of omnipresence, and the mind, the human mind, jumps in there to help you. And it doesn't help. It mimics. It imitates. It says words. It thinks thoughts. None of that is conscious awareness. Yes, it can lead you to a place where you rest, and then conscious awareness takes over. But it must be conscious awareness of spirit, of eternity, infinity, omnipresence, conscious awareness that I am omnipresence, dissolves any appearance of error. And runs your life if you let it, if you don't interfere with this mind. We are now looking at the straight and narrow, and it becomes straighter and more narrow than you can imagine. But the straightness and the narrowness is infinite, and it widens. It widens to allow all of infinite spirit to function within its scope, so that whatever is needed by the person who is in a problem, or by the person helping the person, you will find coming to your rescue in the invisible. And what is needed flows to this particular spot, where there is a patient to do what must be done for that patient, no matter if the help is 5 million miles away. It can instantly appear in the spirit. Yes, and the reason for that is because before Abraham was, you are. Not you the person. You the I. The I am. I am. Before Abraham was, I am. And so we say, God is everywhere, and God is every when. Well, at least I say that. You must build your faith in the flexibility of spirit to perform whatever is necessary. Anything, even beyond the human mind, can conceive. Spirit will literally appear out of nowhere. Yes, that's the wonders of it, the wondrousness of it. Spirit can appear out of nowhere. It's so awesome. You can't imagine unless you've experienced it. Yes, and he'll say this later, but it's like the wind. It appears out of nowhere. You who are on the west coast of the United States have felt the Santa Ana winds and how strong they are at times. You who are on the island of Kauai or Maui have felt the trade winds. And in Paris, I guess you feel the winds coming up from Africa. But we don't know the origin. How does it start? Where does it come from? And you don't know where it's going after it passes you either. And that's how Jesus described this Christ, this I am, this spirit that can appear out of nowhere. Jesus appeared, and they picked up stones to throw at him, and it says he disappeared in the midst. He just escaped in the midst. You can escape in the midst when people are going to take your head off with stones. It means he became invisible, and so he escaped that way. Was he afraid of them? No. He said what he had to say, and you know, whatever he said was always pretty inflammatory. He wasn't afraid of them. And then he either walked away or he disappeared. Where did he go when he disappeared? Just where you would go if you now became invisible. You'd be right where you are, but no one could touch you or see you. The whole Pacific Ocean could flow over you and not touch you, because there's no connection between matter and spirit. And when you're in the spirit, you have no connection with matter. Herb says, now let's get used to movement of spirit throughout infinity and eternity. Here it is. It is said that it is like the wind. We do not know the source or the destination, and it comes when we know not. And the bridegroom comes for the bride when we know not, when ye think not. What are all these phrases doing in the Bible? They're saying something esoteric so that you will stop and look and discern that all around you in the invisible are the everlasting arms of the Father. When you go to heal another person, you have the everlasting arms of the Father, infinity, eternity, at your beck and call. So those would be the two arms, wouldn't they? Infinity and eternity. At your beck and call, provided you are not in a state of thought. Because instantly when you think, you draw the curtains. So that's why he said, spirit meets the claim if you are in a position not to interfere. How do you interfere? You take thought. And when you take thought, you draw the curtains. You put the veil right back on. The glass darkly. What did he say? We have to be in the now to see face to face. And in the now, there's no thought. It is said that the pure in heart will inherit the kingdom of God. The pure in heart are those who are willing to lay down their thought, to lay down their concept of life, which is their thought, and to let the Father guide them, slowly at first, and their guidance will be in the direction of spirit. You'll say to yourself, I don't know how to solve this problem. You'll say that for a while. But then you'll also say, Christ knows how to. I think I'll turn to the Christ and I'll watch. I'll behold. I'll bear witness. Christ lives in infinity and eternity. Christ has the freedom. Spirit is eternal. When your patient is healed by the Spirit, your patient is also going to live forever because Spirit does not work on a human level. That means when you attain the Spirit and you rest in it, it lifts your patient. It lifts them, frees them from the appearance of error. And if it's deep enough, it lifts them into a spiritual way of life where they live forever. It lifts them into eternal life, into infinite life. If you decide to become an agent for the Spirit, you'll be making a wise decision. But Spirit doesn't want human healers. This clarifies to an extent how you bring Christ power to work on a human being, But you need practice. You have to do 10 healings, 20 healings, 30 healings to get the feel of it, the weight of it, to see how you get out of the way and allow Christ to get in. The best way to practice is to try to do it in your own life, in your meditations, to invite Christ in by signing off, by slowly learning the art of dying to the flesh. Dying to the flesh is not saying I won't do this or I won't do that. That's a negative way of doing it. Dying to the flesh is to make yourself available to the Christ and let the Christ sit on your seat, on the seat of your consciousness. Let Christ be the voice that reaches your client or your patient. You are taking no thought, using no will, but you're the perfect instrument for the Christ. And so dying to the flesh means to take no thought, to stand stock still, to live in the is of now. Something is controlling your work, and you feel the control, and you're grateful for the control because you find yourself doing things you didn't know you could do. This is how you live until Christ is your consciousness. And that ability to self-efface, to still the mind, to keep it alert while stilling it, to let it hover there until Christ comes through. Then he jumps over to St. Augustine for some reason. St. Augustine was rather a nasty fellow at one time. I don't suppose anybody was lower than St. Augustine was, or appeared lower. But he became aware of the Christ, practiced the Christ. His sins were washed white as snow. There's nothing anyone has done that is considered a sin by the Spirit. He's washed white as snow. Isn't that fantastic? That means any excuse like, well, I don't deserve this, is not true. It's not truth. It's a lie. It has nothing to do with you deserving it. When you die to the flesh and you live in this now moment and you experience God ising, there's no more you to be worthy or unworthy. You are the God that is ising. We put that word on it, God. I think that's a funny word, God. 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 There's all kinds of ways to say that word. It's a funny word, God. But what is the experience? What is the experience of God? I don't know what it is for you. Lately, I've just been really comfortable with Father, even though I know that Christ is my true identity, and that I and the Father are one. I still like that term. Source is the same as Father. So you could lean back and say, Source. You could lean back and say, I. Sometimes I like that too, especially in the middle of the night. Well, this is the halfway point. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. If you don't need a break, you can sit still and recognize that you are eternal. You are infinite. Because I and my Father are one. And rest there. Okay, pressing forward. Side 2. The subject of time and space, unless it's met now, will keep us in a material universe, because time and space are the pavement on which the material universe runs. When you get rid of time and space, you're automatically getting rid of matter. So, the way to get rid of the sense of body, or sense body, will come through your eliminating time and space. There is a necessity to dwell on this subject for a long time, but there is that necessity to do it because if you don't, you're going to stay mired in the flesh. Let's look at our own lives and the errors that we have experienced. Suppose we had had the ability to step out of time, or to see that we had never been in time, and that which we received in time wouldn't be true. I've known a lot of people who healed themselves that way. The concept of time is so completely illusory that man has never become aware of it. He thinks that everything that happens to him is happening, but the complete cycle of time life is the basis of the illusion. You were never in time. You were never born 100 years ago. You were never born 500 years ago. You carry the illusion of birth from one incarnation to another, because you carry the illusion of time from one incarnation to another. Why do we grow old? Because we think the years have come one after another. When you break the illusion of time and see that it never existed, you will understand why God has no age. God does not grow older in time, and God never created anything in time either. God never created time. There isn't a thing in man's world that is the truth. Everything in man's world is an illusion that he must overcome. And the sooner you get busy with the tougher illusions, the easy ones will just follow. So if you learn how to dwell in this moment, in this now, in the now that is before Abraham, and the now that is after the end, when you learn to dwell in that now, time shall be no more. That's a promise in Revelation. Time shall be no more. It's fascinating. It's fabulous. When you begin to experience this, this was a really big revelation for Herb, and he shared it with all of us. You see, Joel told me, when I asked him, how do you get rid of this false sense of self? It follows me around everywhere. And he said, well, you haven't got one. You haven't got one. And that just almost made me dizzy. Whoa, I haven't got one. But you really begin to suspect that and know that when you step into the now, in your meditations, when you experience eternity and infinity. So Herb says, we are digging our own graves, literally, unless we get out of it into the free universe of spirit, unless we get out of time into the free universe of spirit. To lay down the garment of mortality, which has bound the human race since it can name its beginning, and has chained everyone to a similar procession for a similar number of years, it really is now an old-fashioned way of life. But we're in a new age. We're in an age of spirit, where the young stay young, where the harmony of God becomes a living factor in people's lives, where life is not 80 years, where life is limited to nothing, and where we do not have a parenthesis around infinity, where we ourselves are infinite, for that's the birthright we inherited. That's your birthright, your spiritual birthright. Once you have the conscious awareness of spirit and really have it, you are baptized by the Spirit. That's what baptism really is. And then you're not limited. You come into your inheritance, which is eternity and infinity. And he says, I want to speak to those of you who know they are infinite. And so that's you, if you have had an experience, whether a glimpse for a few moments or even for a few days. I want to speak to those of you who know they are infinite. You are infinite in every perfect quality of God. You are infinite love, not a little love directed at one person. You're not that kind of love. A total love, a love which seeks nothing, a love which gives all, a love which knows the thrill of sharing infinite deeds, a love that is as big as God's love. When you get infinite love, you have to step aside and let it flow through you. Yes, that is the truth. It's the kind of love that won't bring any harm to any individual. It's the kind of love that will see everyone living as the Christ, whether they do in the visible or not. Being an instrument for God's love means you've either died to the flesh or you're going to. Now, I don't mean you're going to have a funeral. I mean what he said. You die to the flesh when you're not taking thought, when you get out of the way and become a beholder. In that moment when you feel that movement and you have the conscious awareness of spirit, you have died to the flesh. And so then you are empty of self. You're standing still. You're in the silence. And that love can flow through you. And what an experience that is. It's your nature to express infinite love as the Christ. Infinite harmony is your nature. There's nothing else you can do. Infinite harmony follows the Christ wherever the Christ goes. Infinite intelligence always operating at the level of the need and so on down the line. The perfect qualities of God are your qualities, but they occur in a timeless world. So if you want those qualities, you best live in a timeless world. We must turn over the complete leaf and try to operate from a new level of spirit. You will find that your spirit recognizes itself in your neighbor and lifts him up to the level of spirit when you do not act like a mortal. You will find there are hidden treasures in everything, because the reality of everything is spirit. Let's live in the new world and find out that it's the kingdom. I want to live where God wants me to live. God wants me to live in His kingdom, and I want to live in His kingdom. I've got to recognize His kingdom where I am. And then I've got to insist that my own behavior lives at a level which lives in the kingdom. And I will find heaven here and now. And I will live in the kingdom of God here and now. And I will manifest the things of God here and now, provided that I say to the Christ of my being, "Take over, because I can't do it." He says, "I've never met a man or a woman who can do it without the Christ." We are going to lift the errors of the world and reveal the kingdom of heaven on earth. You won't have to upset your home to do it. Spirit doesn't work that way. You live in truth, that's all. You don't have to influence anyone else to do it. But you live in truth. Inject that into your household, where you are living in the Spirit of God and observing everyone in that house as the Spirit of God. Getting into the habit of seeing the Spirit of God in everything, looking for it. Now that's what happened to me, and I stumbled upon it on accident. Back in, 73, I think it was. 1973. I don't want to tell the real long story again, so I'll just say that my wife ran off with a friend of ours and took our baby with her. And she had every right to do that. But I took it quite hard because I never imagined I'd be without her. And it really crushed me. So I went to this wise man, Don, my first teacher. And I said, "What do? I can't stand the pain." He said, "Most people would get out of this problem by transferring their feelings to another woman. But," he said, "you'd be just as much dependent on the next one, because this isn't love. This is dependency." I said, "Well, what do? Well, he said, "There's a chapter for you in the Art of Meditation, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. You need to find it." I went home, I opened the Art of Meditation, and I found that chapter, "For Love is of God." So that sounded like a good chapter, so I started reading it. And somewhere in it, it says, "The only way we can love God is by loving His creation, for God and His creation are one." And so, being motivated with all the pain I was feeling, I decided, right there with the book open in my lap, that I would try to do that. I would try to transfer my love to God by loving Him inside of everyone and everything. And so I practiced it right in my home. Since I was living alone, I could talk out loud. I didn't have to do it silently until I went out into public. So I had to plant a wandering Jew in the living room. And I would get up every day and say, well, good morning, Father. Would you like a drink of water? And I had a cat, and I would say, hello, Father, are you hungry? And I told you about the fly buzzing around my room. It was landing on my forehead. I was trying to read the Practice in the Presence, I think. Landed on my forehead, and I'd wave it away. It'd land on my arm, shake my arm. It would land on my other hand. Oh, it was becoming irritating, and I thought, okay, fine, I'll get up and get the fly swatter. And I stopped right in my tracks and thought, wait a minute. Either God's inside of everything and everyone, or he isn't. So I sat on my couch and I stuck up my hand, palm up, and I said, okay, Father, come on over here and land on my hand and I'll put you outside. And that fly buzzed around the room a time or two and it landed right in the middle of my palm of my hand. And I got up from the couch and it was still there. And I walked across the room and it was still there. And I opened the wooden door and it was still there. And I opened the screen door, and it was still there. And I stuck my hand outside, and it flew away. So these are the kinds of odd, strange experiences you can have. The plant grew like crazy, never got any sun. These are the kind of experiences you can have when you do what he said here. Get in the habit of seeing the Spirit of God in everything. Look for it. And that's what I did. And it worked. I became consciously aware of God inside of everyone and everything. And so I went and I told Don how fantastic this was. And he said, can you split a talk with me at the church on Wednesday night? And I said, yes. Wednesday night, I talked for 10 minutes and sat down, 10 or 15. Then we had a break, got some cookies and coffee. Then Don got up and talked for, he was supposed to talk for an hour, but 5 minutes into his talk, he looked down at the podium and dropped his body right there, fell over dead. He was gone. He stayed alive just long enough to introduce me to God. Where does that kind of love come from? It has to come from God itself, doesn't it? So Herb here says, do you understand that a person who has a physical problem is not really aware that he has no physical body, and therefore his physical body shows forth the problem? Do you understand that a person who fears death is really afraid of losing his body? A body he doesn't have. Do you see the core of all human fear is flesh? Do you see that same individual, knowing that he has a spiritual body right where the physical body appears, but the spiritual body is not this size, this shape, it is infinite, and his worry about a mole on his left arm is kind of ludicrous in the face of his infinite spiritual body? Yes, so you catch the conscious awareness of your infinite eternal spiritual body, and a lot of these things will fall away. You're not trying to heal his physical body. You're not even trying to heal the concepts in his mind. You're simply trying to live out the truth of Christ, slowly or fast, speedily through your awareness of truth and your spiritual development. The idea comes into his mind that he feels better or well or right. And it happens quickly or very slowly. But if you are persistent, it will happen. And when you see enough bodies reacting to your teaching and your faithful rendition of what Christ gives you to do, you'll realize that Spirit is doing the work. I want to go with you a little further, knowing yourself to be infinite. In infinity, you can't touch your toes or touch the top of your head and say, "That's me." You can't realize that you're infinite with this little mind. And with a 2.5 or 3 ounce brain. So what are you going to do to realize it? Yes, the mind can never show you God. You'll never realize infinity with human thought. Why does the Bible keep insisting that you take no thought? And why do you keep insisting that you must take thought? We are learning how to transcend the human brain and the human body and all of the things in between which have to do with human ambition and pride and so forth. And when we have a soul recognition of the infinity of being, in that 1 second, we have traveled 1,000 years. From that, you rise to the Christ mind, which is the creator of the true universe. And everything that Christ mind sees and hears and becomes aware of is reality. All the discord that we know is the counterfeit thought of the world brain, the human brain. This world brain creates the illusion. The human brain then alters the illusion, but it doesn't change the reality. You can count on what is to always be what is. It is always ising. And the moment you touch is, you touch now. Because reality is now. Do you think in your recollections that you have ever experienced the living now? And I explained that to you, the experience I had in Avila Beach, which was stepping outside of time. So yes, I have experienced the now. Travel through your experiences for a moment and try to recall what happened. What triggered it? What made you suddenly see with such utter clarity that you know you weren't seeing with your brain? Or with your mind's eye, or with your eyes. You saw right through all the clutter that the world could throw at you. And you saw something with such utter clarity, that was a divine experience. But what triggered it? Stepping out of time. In the soul vision, you get your first hint of reality. Is this worth laying aside the toys of humanhood, the baubles? To live in the world where peace reigns, where bombs don't drop, where there are no labor struggles, where crime doesn't enter the streets. That kingdom is right here. You are walking in it, and you may be experiencing some of it. Some of our students are quite advanced. They walk in the kingdom at times, and their reports are that they have seen the light. They have seen the sun behind the sun. They have seen the army of angels that are spoken of as the hosts of God. We want to transform the visible world of illusion into the reality that it is masking. Every little bit of progress we make makes possible more progress. In the New Horizon, Joel's chapter, we're given a hint, the new world behind the old world. In the New Jerusalem, we're given more of a hint. All right, so he says, I urge you to keep on with your study until matter has less of a pull upon you, Keep on with your material life, transforming it daily to the best of your ability. And if you can, let the people call you for help, because in giving them their help, you have to achieve a degree of what I've been describing. And by giving them their help successfully, you will have achieved that degree. And it's a very sensible way to accelerate your progress. The Atlantic Ocean is not there. The Pacific Ocean is not there. We're looking at a world which is devoid of all material things. There are no planes in the sky. If moments of light come to you, liberating you from a way of life that you have been living, no matter how high or low, hold these dear experiences close to you. Share them only with those who can share them with you. And that's why I have shared them with you over the years, because you can appreciate them. We already had quite a number of those experiences reported during this class, where people have spent a lifetime, but during one or another of these classes, they had an experience. I guess I reported it to him about Avila Beach. And it's based on the knowledge that they are spirit, they are Christ, their neighbor is spirit, their neighbor is Christ. And now it will be based on the knowledge that time does not exist in God's kingdom, and there is no world besides God's kingdom. If you feel a slight movement toward a higher universe, your movement is correct. And he says, blessings of love, and we'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow morning. Okay, so that is chapter 5. I hope you will practice the principle of standing stock still, resting in the now. I hope you can catch a glimpse of eternity, infinity, as your only being. Because when you have that, you will know that this other is just a mental image. And so you'll stop working on it. You'll start working on dwelling in the now so that you can see God face to face. You really can see God face to face. And how interesting it is when you discover God is I. I am God. Be still and know I am God. Thank you ever so much, all of you. We have reached a place where we are no longer working with children for now. We're taking a break, and you all have rushed in to pick up and fill in the empty places, and we are grateful. So thank you.